wake up and get into the light. Amen. Well, he already gave the introduction of who I am. So I want to introduce my husband. We just celebrated our 37th anniversary. Amen. Praise God. He's definitely been a benefit in my life and a benefit to this church. And I just thank God for him. He's a support. You know, you'll see him running around doing everything. Amen. And I just thank all of you for being here. It's so wonderful. If I seem a little scary, then just overlook that. No more man after the flesh, but after the spirit. Well, as Wendell has said, Pastor Wendell has said, I'm more of a teacher. I like people to know, understand about what the Word of God is saying. So I'll use analysis, I'll use word definitions and things like that. So I don't want to bore you, but I believe that, you know, when you have a good understanding about things, that you'll be able to receive what God has done for all of us. Amen?
Amen, amen.
Okay. And with that, I'm saying that I'm not someone who knows everything, as he was saying. But we're all on a spiritual path. As you know, we're all on a spiritual path. Even people who haven't come to Christ yet, they're on a spiritual path. The Holy Spirit is leading and guiding them to the truth about Christ. And when we get on this side of the fence and we have accepted that, that he's steadily leading and guiding us into more truth. And what happens in our spiritual walk and path, things are beginning to peel off our soul part. The soul part of us. We are free in Christ. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. But how many of you know that you can still be a slave of sin? And you can still be a slave to things, to being a slave when you're free. Amen. If you don't know you're free, then you'll walk like that, you're still, you know, a slave. Am I correct? So as time was going on for me, God has always revealed little truths to me about this grace and this freedom, this truth. He's always did that from as I was growing up. And I would receive little truths here, but I didn't have the whole picture, you know, like a bird's eye view of it. I didn't have it, but I sometimes like look at it as, you know what a lattice is, you see little holes. Water trickles through. But one day, God was building on something there. And one day, that water came pushing through. That lattice came down. And everything came flowing through like a river of water. Amen. And I started hearing about the grace message back in 2000. Maybe a little before 2000. But I mean, I was really catching hold to it. And I saw Andrew Woman. He was on one of the networks, Christian networks, and I began to listen to him, and I started saying, ooh, he sounded right. Now that sounded right in my spirit. It's something that I already knew. Because
yeah.
It was already in me. I was born again. I already knew the truth. The truth was inside of me, but it wasn't resonating with the brain fully. I was still under the law. Amen. But as I was saying, my mind is continually to be renewed each and every day as I allow the Holy Spirit to come and minister to me, and I walk in that. Let me pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you. We give you praise and we give you honor, Father God. We ask, Father God, that you pour out your blessing and anointing that we may be able to hear and receive everything that you have. Lord, I ask you to help me to articulate everything that you have given me to share with your people that you love so much. I ask you, Father God, to allow them to open their hearts. They are the only ones that have the power to do that. They can open their hearts and hear Even though they've heard some of this before, Father God, I ask you to not let them look at it as, I've heard that before, but a fresh rhema from you. That they may eat and be full and be satisfied. The same way when you fed the 5,000, the 7,000, everybody ate and was full and satisfied. Let that be the same way today in the name of Jesus. Father, we just thank you and we pray for our city, Father. We ask you, Lord God, to allow peace to reign. Allow justice to reign in the name of Jesus. Let us walk in peace, Father God. Amen. All right, so
I'm going to kind of do a little groundwork here. All right, so some of this will be kind of things that you know about. Starting off with Adam and Eve. Everybody knows the story about Adam and Eve, right?
If you don't, I'm going to tell it to you.
Well, Adam and Eve was God's first people that he made on the earth. And the Bible says that God wants, well, actually, it is said that God wants a family. A family, Eve's in heaven, we're in the earth, we're supposed to rule and reign in the earth. And so God made man after himself in the same image. The Bible says that he took some clay and he breathed into Adam. That breath that he breathed into Adam was Adam's. That's my reminder, I was supposed to be preaching that. He breathed into Adam that spirit. God is a spirit. He breathed into Adam and Adam became a living soul. And so he told Adam, the day you eat of this fruit or this tree, you shall surely die. And that's exactly what happened. Adam and Eve ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. God never expected them to be living like that. When you're under the tree of knowledge of good and evil, it's kind of like the law. It's the same thing. Okay? But man wasn't made to have that, to know all of that. That's the part of God that God preserved for himself. And so they did eat, and what took place was they died, but they didn't look physically dead. They didn't fall over like that. I believe that man was meant to be physically alive forever, but they died first in their spirit. That breath that he had breathed into them. Okay? So they died there. Now, the Bible says that Eve was deceived by the serpent. Y'all with me? Deceived by the serpent. But Adam was not. Adam ate of that fruit. I believe that this is a love story here, again. The love story is that Adam made a split-second decision. You know how you can know something? You know, you don't have time to articulate it, but you know it. And I believe that Adam saw Eve in that state. She ate it first, and then she gave some to him. And then the Bible says, then he ate. Okay. But I wonder what took place between the time Eve had eaten and right before the time that he had eaten. I believe, this is my own thoughts, okay? But I believe that he loved her so much that he banked on God coming to get them. Now, because he knew the love of God. They walked in the cool of the day. They conversed with one another. Intimacy, relationship that God had with his man. And at that point, I heard a preacher say, if I was Adam, I would have just asked God to give me another wife. You're laughing because you know that's not the heart of God. You know what I'm saying? That's not the heart of God. God loved them. And I believe that that's what Adam did. Now, what Adam didn't count on is once he got over here, that he would not be able to see God as he saw him before. Okay? That was one of the devastating things for him.
As a matter of fact, he didn't love his wife like that anymore. You know, before he said, this is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, and we are one together. They love each other. And those of you who are married, you know that that's the way it's supposed to be. Y'all supposed to be that one heart. Walking together like this. That's the way it's supposed to be. And some people have experienced that. Okay. But when he got over there, he realized that he couldn't see God the way God saw them. And the first thing he did, the Bible said he was in fear. They were in fear. He hid himself from God. When God came to talk to him again, he hid himself. And then the next thing he did, he accused his wife. You know, when you love somebody, you don't accuse them. You see, so they had died spiritually. They had a spiritual death. And so we're going to talk a little bit, the latest groundwork about spirit, soul, and body, and then we're going to move on. I had said that if I was going to name this, I would name it that our gospel is not a do-nothing gospel, but so many things came out of you, name what you want. Because I want whatever it is that you need to know, or whatever it is that you need to understand about the Lord, then you take that back with you, okay? Because the table is being spread. So the spirit part of us, the most inner part of us, passed away. That means that the spirit man of us died. That means that we were separated. We weren't no more. We didn't end, but we were actually separated and couldn't see God as we saw him before. Slide 2, please. John 17:3. This scripture is a scripture that Jesus was praying to the Father, and he made this statement. He says, this is life eternal. Some scriptures' version says, this is eternal life. That they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. He was saying that to the Father, talking about us, all of us who had been separated, okay, inside of Adam. Because once we were born out of Adam, everybody was inside of Adam. And everybody that came out of Adam was dead, walking dead people, right? Okay, so once that had taken place, God had to come and bring us back. And Jesus was saying that this is eternal life. This is what eternal life is, you all. That they might know you. That they might know the true God. Know Jesus Christ. And know it's an intimacy that you have with God. That's an intimate relationship that you would have with God. Slide 3. Is that coming out right? Black under the Okay, this next scripture is Jesus speaking to a Samaritan lady. The Samaritan people were people who were they were people who were half Jewish and something else, and they had animosity between the Jewish people and the Samaritan people. And so it was a racial tension because the Jewish people felt that the Samaritan had kind of blemished their bloodline. Okay? And so there was always animosity there. And so Jesus was talking to this lady who was a Samaritan, and they were by the well and they were talking, and she tried to tell Jesus that we worship at this mountain, and this is the right way to worship. But Jesus told her in John 4:23, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth.
For the Father seeketh such to worship him. And John 4:24 says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So here it is that God is, Jesus is telling her, you must worship him in spirit and truth. Well, if you're dead, you can't worship him. If you're separated, you can't worship him. But in spirit, when you are made in his image and just like him, then you become able to worship God in spirit. And that's where Jesus is coming in on the scene. Okay? So, we understand that we are born again creation because we have received Jesus Christ into our heart. The Bible says if you believe that in your heart that Jesus died for you, the Bible says that you're saved. No longer, you don't have to look back. He says you're a new creation, you're perfect. You're perfect people in Christ. Amen. Y'all believe that?
Amen.
Perfect. Okay? Because he is perfect. So are we. All right? And so, this next area I want to go to is about the soul part of you. The soul part of you, mind, will, and emotions. I want to put a little disclaimer in this scripture first, before I say the scripture, because when I was growing up, only thing that was attached to this scripture was, do this right, do this right, do this right, and you're saved. Okay? Do this. Don't wear fingernail polish. You say, don't wear no pants. You say, that's the era I came up in. And they got it today. They make their little rules and their little regulations and things like that. And then they say you're accepted. But we know that. We're accepted because he has accepted us.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. So, I just want to let you know, if you think of this scripture, if some of you think of this scripture to be, one of my sisters had a story how she, we went on vacation one year, and we were at the hotel, and she got in the pool, and she started to drown. She was down, and she tried to get herself up, but nobody could hear her. Everybody was talking and having fun, and nobody was paying any attention to her. And she was down there in the pool. She says, well, Lord, I guess this is it. I'm going to get this fingernail polish off me first. And she was trying to scrape her cheek down at the bottom of the pool, trying to scrape her fingernail polish off.
Oh.
Isn't that scary? Because the knowledge was not there. It was not, if you believe in Jesus, that Jesus paid the price for you, the punishment has already been paid. There's no going back. I can forget about that past stuff. He died for me yesterday, today, and forever. I'm forgiven yesterday, today, and forever. I'm forgiven for sins yesterday, today, and forever. There's no going back. Once I've been sealed with the price, once I've been sealed with the Spirit of God, then I'm sealed. Me. I will protect you. I will leave the 99 and come get you. Amen. That's security, guys and gals. That's security. So if you feel like it's something that you maybe didn't do right or whatever, or you got in trouble, God ain't looking at that. God knew you was going to do that. He knew you were going to do that. Okay, but he has provided for you.
Amen.
Amen. He has provided.
That's good news.
But I want to talk about a little bit about this scripture, Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God wants us to renew our mind. I'm breathing in this. Forgive me. But this word transform can be transfigured. It's something like metamorphosis. It happens like metamorphosis. It's something, a transform can be an active word, something that you do, or it could be a passive thing that something is done to you. Okay? So, it says here, by the renewing of your mind. Now, let me say this. God made us with a mind, will, and emotion, but everybody knows that our mind rules everything that our body does. Am I right? Y'all know that. My mind say, hey, scratch your back. I scratch my back. Lift my leg. I lift my leg. Okay? So that's just the normal way we understand how we operate in the earth. God is the one who made us. So he knew that renewing the mind, whichever way you think in your mind, is the way you will operate with your body. But he doesn't want us to be trapped. Okay? He wants us to experience success. He wants us to know that we are righteous. He wants us to know that we can have prosperity. He wants us to know that we can be healed. Am I right about it?
Yeah.
He does. He's holding nothing back from us. The only thing that's held back from us is what's here in our own mind. Amen?
Amen.
So he tells us to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So now, when I renew my mind, I no longer say that I'm no good or I'm wretched. I was wretched, but I'm not anymore. Okay. God has paid the price now. God is no longer angry with me. I used to feel that all the time. Oh, God's going to get me. And fear all the time. And you know, when you're experiencing fear, let me tell you something. You are experiencing something because something you don't know about God.
Ooh, come on now.
It's something that you don't really know about him. He wants you to know everything.
Come on.
Work it on out, Jesus. Work it on out. He wanted to come. Yeah, no secrets. God ain't got no secrets from you.
Yes.
He wants everything for you. He loves us so much. Adam couldn't see that no longer. When he stepped on the other side, he couldn't see how God loved him. But before he stepped on that other side, he knew God would come back and save mankind. Wow. Oh, yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Come on.
He knew.
Amen. That's good.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. So here I spend time renewing my mind. I believe what God has said. It's already in my heart. I believe that. Joseph Prince preaches he has a message. If you believe right, you do right. You walk right. But we're all on this spiritual path. Nobody is better than anybody else. The Holy Spirit is the one that's leading and guiding us into the truth. We're moving more toward him. But now, if you reject the Holy Spirit and the work that he does, he can't get you. He can't take care of you. Let me tell you that. I mean, you have to receive him. Okay, if he put things in your path and you turn a deaf ear and say, I ain't going with that, then you're rejecting him. You're rejecting life. We want the Zoe life of God, right? Amen.
Come on, man. That's good.
Woo! Thank you, Jesus.
That's good.
Where I'm going, Lord. Okay, I'm going to slide 5. It says, this is Romans 1:16. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Do you believe? You got power. That word salvation says a whole lot. It says I'm free from sin or the sin nature. I'm no longer a sinner because I have received the righteousness of God, which is Christ. I'm no longer a sinner. I'm a free person. Okay? I'm free from sin. And then it gives me the power to be reunited with God so that I can worship him in spirit and in truth. I'm free from the sickness and the diseases and the poverty. Am I experiencing some of that? I might be experiencing some of that, but that doesn't mean that I have to.
Come on.
have to. This is the power of God. This is the power of God. Salvation. It says the righteousness of God, for their end, this is Romans 1:17, but for their end is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. This is what the gospel do. When we hear the gospel, faith comes up to receive it. Bang, bang. Yes, yes, I want that. I want that. Jesus died for me? You mean he died for me? I have to die for myself now? No, I don't have to die for myself. You mean I got knowledge and wisdom and everything packed up in here now? Yes, you do.
Yeah.
It's yours.
Amen. Come on now. Come on now.
He said the righteousness of God revealed. That means you can see it now. It's yours.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Let me tell you what it reveals.
Come on.
It reveals it reveals the understanding about grace.
Ooh,
you hear me? I said it reveals the understanding about grace that you can now fly. Now you can now be free.
Yeah, yeah.
Because see, if the law could do that for you, you know, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. If that could help you, okay, you would not have any more conscience of sin. See, when you hear the law, you walk out, I do this right and that's right. You talking about me. That preacher was talking about me. See, you can't mix those two things. You see, but this gives us the power to see that God is for me and not against me. He is on my side. He's working it out on my behalf. He's got my back.
Come on. Yeah.
He's got my back. Even when I don't feel like I'm being loved, I'm telling you that he is on your side.
Amen.
He is for you.
Amen.
Forever.
Amen.
It never ends.
Yeah.
Never ends.
Yeah.
Understanding. He gives you understanding about the grace that he has for you. Now, you know, since you got the understanding, now you start to understand, yeah, I can make it through school. He puts a little passion in your heart. Something that he wants, purpose in your heart that he wants, he's got for you. And now you start to believe, yeah, I can do all things through Christ. He give me strength to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, I can. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, yes. So that's why it's important not to mix the grace message with the law message. And you have that happening every Sunday morning. You can't mix the two. Pastor Wendell talked about this last week at the scripture Matthew 16. I wanted it red, but I thought the background would be white, so I'm sorry. But here's what it says. I'm going to just kind of briefly read this. Matthew 16:6, the first one said, Beware and take heed of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they are reasoning in themselves, saying, because we took no loaves, and Jesus, having known, said to them, why reason in yourselves, ye of little faith, because ye took no loaves? Do you not yet understand nor remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many hand baskets you took up? Of the 7 loaves of the 4,000, how many baskets you took up? How do you not understand that I did not speak to you of bread to take heed of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees? Then they understood that he did not say to take heed of the leaven of the bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Well, listen to this. I don't know if you know this story, but I can't remember if you really elaborated on that story last week, but the disciples were concerned that they didn't have enough food to feed all the crowd that was following Jesus, and he fed them. 5,000 was 5,000 plus, 7,000 plus, two different times.
And he fed them all. The Bible said they all ate. He prayed. He said, he asked them, how many loaves of bread do you have? Five. How many fish do you have? Two. He said, he took them, he blessed them, gave thanks, passed it out, and everybody ate. That's a miracle. God has the ability to stretch things and make it happen. And everybody, nobody was empty when they left there. Okay? So they got all in this thing about, oh, he's talking about us and he's mad at us. See, it was sin conscience. Oh, they were afraid that he was upset about it. But he wasn't talking about that. He said, I know you can't see that. I'm not talking about that. Didn't you see what I just did? Jesus used logic. Sometimes, you know, we get too spiritual, we don't use logic. Didn't I feed them over there? Why do you think I want to do it now? I did it then, I can do it now. So I'm not talking about that. But he was talking about the teaching of the Pharisees. And the teaching of the Pharisees was about keeping the law. If you keep the law, then you'll be right. That's what they're teaching you. But see, I find it funny that he would use this word leaven. How many cooks we got in the house? Y'all know what leaven is. Leaven is a... it's like a rising agent that you can put in dough, and it can rise up. You take a little yeast, and you make some dough, and you put a little bit in there on this side. Guess what? It'll end up on the other side of the dough. It'll spread through there. A little lump. A little leaven's the whole lump.
Wow.
So he didn't want them to get this teaching about the law mixed with grace. That's what this was about. Jesus always had a reason why he was saying something. He just didn't say something for nothing. Just because we don't understand everything he said, don't mean he was saying just to be talking. But Jesus had a reason why he was saying this. And so, before he died on the cross, he knew exactly he had to teach this. He had to teach his disciples the truth. The truth was that God is for us. The truth is grace is for you. The truth is you can be new created. Right? And so he's telling them, don't mix these two things together. Because you can't have them both. He said last week, if you put a little poop in some food, would you eat it? Just because somebody tell you it's just a little bit of poop. Oh, let me say this again. Come on, how many people? Let's put you at your hands. If I had some brownies I brought in, and I said, hey, I wanted to share these brownies, y'all. I want y'all to enjoy them, they're really good. But, you know, my little dog, you know, he, a little poop got in the back. A little poop got in the back. It's all right, but it'll be all right. Just go ahead and have some. How many people? You first in line. No, you wouldn't. You would say, nah, I'll pass on that, bro. Why? Because it's tainted. It's tainted. And when you mix the law and the grace together, it becomes tainted. Bible said, let them be a first.
Ooh.
Now that's deep. Well, that was Paul talking. But I ain't gonna go there. I just want you to see what Jesus is telling them. So you know Jesus saying the same thing. That's that same thing. Luke 5:33. It says, that here in this story, I just bring it to speed a little bit, that the Sadducees, Pharisees, whoever they were giving Jesus' disciples a little business about why they didn't do certain things. And so verse 33 says here, this is 5:33, 36 through 39. They said to him, John's disciples often fast and pray, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees, but yours go on eating and drinking, doing whatever they want to do. Verse 36, he told them this parable. Verse 36, he told this to his disciples. He says, no one tears a patch from a new garment and sews it on an old one. If he does, he will have torn the new garment, and the patch from the new will not match the old. Back in those days, we've done everything down through the centuries, and people wear patches on the clothes. It's no big deal. But back in those days, if you put that, we got a seamstress in the house. We got two seamstresses in the house. Y'all know that if you put an old patch with a new patch, the new will be torn and no good to wear. I'm talking about a suit, y'all. Y'all going out to a banquet. We ain't talking about just hanging out. We're talking about going out to a banquet. You can't put that new cloth in with that old cloth. Or it'll be torn. It'll be a bigger hole. And then verse 37, he says, and no one pours new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the new wine will burst the skins, the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. The wine will be ruined too. It'll be all over the floor. The wineskins were, I guess, this leather type cloth that they would put the wine in, and it aged along with the wine skin. The wine and the wine skin would age together. And the wine skin, it stretched, so stretched that it became brittle and it break. He's saying, you can't go out and get new wine now and put that in the old wine skin bottle. Or the wine skin will break and it will be all over the floor. Nobody can drink and have a good time and be merry. No new wine must be poured into new wineskins. Verse 39, and no one after drinking the old wine wants to drink. For he says the old is better. So you can see that happening today. Am I right about it?
Yeah.
They want to stick with the law. He said, well, we're law. It's grace now. This is the dispensation of time of grace. Then all can come.
Yeah.
All are free.
Come on, man.
Just acknowledge me on the cross. That I paid the price for each and every one of you.
Come on,
brother.
That's good.
Amen.
Amen.
So when you're renewing your mind, you gotta remind yourself of this. When that demonic thought comes to you that you don't add up. You're not quite right. You gotta say what God says about you.
Come on.
Because what God says about you is the truth. He said, those who worship me must worship me in spirit and truth. The truth is, I am for you. I'm not against you. Come on, see me as I am. God says, see me as I am. I am on your side. I just need you to agree. You can't walk together unless you agree. Come on, Anthony. If we walk together, we're in agreement. We're walking together. But Anthony, go the other way. Come on! He wants us to agree with him. Agree that he is for us.
Good, that's rest.
Amen?
Yeah.
That's right, we gotta enter into that rest.
Yeah.
You got to enter into that rest. Amen.
That's good.
You might be saying to yourself, well, I am. But I've been struggling, trying to make it. I don't have money. You look at your bank account. And God said, I am your bank account. Everything that you need, I will provide. I will provide all and everything that you might need. Sometimes I just think about I want something, and all of a sudden I turn around and poof, there it is. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. When we enter into his rest, when we enter into that place of knowing, having that intimate relationship that I'm talking about, that intimacy with him, back to where they were before they had failed, and we're separated, then you know it's all right. I don't have the scripture up here, but Philip
Philippians. Paul is the apostle who wrote the majority of the New Testament. And Jesus met Paul on the, what was the name of that road?
Damascus.
And because Paul was a killer of people who believed like this. He was putting them out. And he thought he was doing right by God. But Jesus showed up and told him no. But he was going to come and he was going to be his disciple and he was going to talk to many people. And Paul did that. He did just that. But Paul was talking to the Philippians. And he says, in Philippians 1:3-6, he says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it out to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
He will carry it out in you. What we have to do is to surrender. Okay, what we have to do is surrender. There was a rich young ruler that came to Jesus and asked him, what is it that I need to do to have eternal life? And Jesus, you know, what he called him a good master. He said, good master, what do I need to do? Okay, well, Jesus returned to him and said, first thing, Jesus said, why are you calling me good? I'm going to tell you about that in a minute. But Jesus began to tell him, you know what the law says. Do this, do this, do this, do this. See, Jesus was really telling him, okay, that the law would save him. Jesus was reminding him, because that's the way he came to him, what do I need to do? Okay? And Jesus named the laws, and he proudly said, well, I've done that since I was a little thing. In my youth, I've been doing all of that. And Jesus told him, you forgot one thing. Now, this scripture that talks about this, it says, Jesus told him, sell all you have, because his man was rich, okay? Sell all you have, give it to the poor, and follow me. Most people think that means, oh, you're not supposed to have anything, you're not supposed to be wealthy. Right? Supposed to be in poverty as a Christian, that's not true. Prosperity is for us, okay? But he told him this, because this money that he had was his God. And he had broken the first commandment. You should love, you should put no other God before me. Okay. God knew that they couldn't keep all the laws. So there he was. The Bible says he went away sad. He went away sad because he had an idol God. So, in other words, he was saying, you didn't keep the law. Come on. You didn't keep it. Not for real. You need me calling me good. Only one is good, God. So call me God.
Right, right.
Call me God. Because I'm God. Jesus is God. Amen. God the Son. Yes, he is. Heaven. God is good. And he has done a wonderful work for all of us. All we have to do is surrender. We'll surrender that heart to God. Surrender. You get the power of God. God will not come and overbear him himself. He will show you different things to lead you to him. But you have to willfully select him. He will never make you select him. Because he wants to love him. That wants to be there. And you should too.
Yeah.
Right? We made in his image. Amen. Anyway, I want to say this. If there's anything that you, in this teaching today, that you didn't understand, you can come and ask me. I'm free. I'm open. After the service, if you have a question in your mind, that might have said something that you didn't quite get or understand what I mean. You mean that word that we're okay, you feel free. This is I love this church.
Yeah.
Because I'm in a place where I no longer have to worry about some evilness over my head.
Yeah.
Monkey on my back. I don't have to. I'm free, y'all. I'm really free, and you are too.
Yeah.
I hope you experience the freedom of God in this place. Because this is why God brought this place here. This is why he brought his church here. Amen? Well, let's God. You ready? I'm good.
You ready?
Thank you.